Rockford campus on East State Street. An important town hall meeting conducted by Congressman Don Manzullo. The subject, health care reform. The meeting starts at 7 o'clock. It's my pleasure to welcome to WNTA Congressman Don Manzullo. How are you?
Hi, Ken. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Are you expecting a big crowd tomorrow night?
Well, I don't know. It's we've had, you know, people show up in we were in Sycamore and then Oregon and Elizabeth. There's a lot of interest in it, but it the first part of it, I go through the bill with the drone of a lawyer. But it's necessary because it's so complex that it's necessary to take the time to lay out exactly, you know, what this bill is, at least the House version of it.
Do you think the public insurance option is truly going to be off the table, or do you think President Obama is serious when he says he's no longer insisting that a public insurance option be part of any health care program?
Well, apparently he or Senator Conrad or both are calling a co-op, and the cooperative is also a public option. That's what President Obama said July 29th of Time Magazine. He said the same two, same word, the two. I'm sorry, the same. Let me tell you, the two are the same. That a cooperative and a public option are the same. And Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid on July 10th also said that we're going to have some type of public option. Call it co-op, call it what you want. So it's really the same thing. They're just trying to redefine what it is. The bottom line is that the public option ends up being the only insurance that's available because the way the bill is designed, a private insurance company simply cannot compete with the government option.
So, Don, my question, how would a public insurance option impact the rates of private insurance companies?
Well, it would dramatically, because if you read, now this is the language of H.R. 3200, which is the base bill in the House. And what's important is that this bill was reported out by the committee.
Okay.
The committee, one of the committees of jurisdiction, the Commerce the Commerce and Energy Committee, reported it out. They voted on it, and it's ready to go to the floor. But what happens is under this bill, individual private plans are grandfathered. You cannot enroll any new insureds except dependents. Well, how can an insurance company stay in business if it can't add any new insureds? And a private plan must remit to the insured any excess of premium payments minus what the insurance company pays out. That rules out any opportunity to be run in the private sector because there's no room for people to make investments or for profit. And as you go through the bill, the public option won't pay taxes or have large administrative costs because the rates of the public option are Medicare. That's what is not getting out, is if you have just Medicare rates under the public option, that is going to so overburden the present Medicare system, is going to bust it.
How would it impact access, generally speaking, to health care and the quality of health care?
Well, what it does is it ends up rationing because it allocates so much of a many physicians aren't accepting Medicare or Medicaid because they just, you know, they just can't meet expenses with it. The same with some hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
So if everybody goes on Medicare and Medicaid, which is the guts of the bill, because private companies cannot afford to stay around, then you're going to have a huge problem because you're going to be using a lower dollar reimbursement that's obviously going to end up in rationing the services and in the quality of health care. I mean, the prime example is what happened in Vancouver just this past week when Vancouver Coastal Health Authority in British Columbia, they're chopping 6,000 surgeries because they simply don't have enough money in the Canadian healthcare system to pay for those. So what's going to happen with those 6,000 people? We don't know. But What we do know is that they're going to be delayed, some having dramatic delays.
Our guest is 16th District Congressman Don Manzullo. Congressman Manzullo will be hosting a town hall meeting in Rockford tomorrow night at the NIU Education Center on East State Street. The event gets underway at 7 o'clock. We have a few minutes with the congressman. If you have any quick questions or comments, our telephone number is 815-874-8255. Congressman, just a basic question. In your view, how can a reform bill slow the escalating cost of health care coverage?
Okay. What we do is you chop that into many pieces. And the first thing you have to take a look at is the breakdown of the 47 million people that are uninsured. And, I mean, for example, there are, of that group, 20% are already eligible for government programs. They just don't know about them. And so that's a matter of, not a matter of coverage, that's a matter of information. There are individuals earning more than $75,000 a year, 9 million, that are going without health care. And even as to those individuals, there's a, you know, it's difficult sometimes to come up with $1,100, $1,200 a month in money that's necessary to buy health and accident insurance. But those are the people that are the self-employed. So that's where association health plans come in. And association health plans allow the little guys, the small people, the small employers, and the people belong to associations to band together into giant purchasing pools so they can purchase insurance on the same order as a big corporation or a labor union. And that does away then with two things. Number one, it helps bring down the cost because of the size of the pool is so big. And second of all, it eliminates the problem with people that have pre-existing illnesses that can't get insurance. The second thing you do is you expand health savings accounts. That was set up, both the House and the Senate voted on it. The President signed the bill.
Uh-huh.
That allows people to use pre-tax dollars to put into a savings plan and then have a high deductible insurance. We found out that many individuals are saving hundreds and hundreds of dollars a year, if not more, and the employers are saving quite a bit because the base plan that they buy has that high deductible. So that's another way to bring down the high cost of insurance. The third way is through having some meaningful tort reform. I mean, there's nothing in the administration's bill that talks about bringing down the high cost of medical liability insurance. And the other things that we could...
But Don, the lawyers are seemingly too powerful for tort reform to be passed, aren't they?
Well, evidently, there's it's not coming forth. The House voted, when the Republicans were in the majority, on at least two occasions for medical liability reform, and the Senate never picked it up. That's because it takes 60 members of the Senate, you know, in order to form their majority to move something. And lastly, mom and pops businesses should be allowed to purchase insurance with pre-payroll tax dollars. That would immediately save 15.6%. So there are a lot of things that can be done that do not involve dramatic changes in legislation, the nature of health insurance, the delivery of the health care system, but go a long way towards covering more people and making it more affordable.
Margaret, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Margaret, good morning.
Good morning, and good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm fine. I'm a senior. In fact, I'm 74, and my husband, you know, naturally is a senior. Well, what I am really worried about, and I listen continually to everything, and I still can't pick up. My husband is a veteran, and he now is going, you know, he had heart surgery, and he goes to the VA in Madison and the VA in Rockford.
Ken, I'm having a hard time with the
Her husband is a veteran. He recently had heart surgery. He went to the VA hospital in Madison. Go ahead, Margaret. Could you speak up, please?
Yes, I'm sorry. And I'm, you know, on Medicare. Now, I keep listening, and I never hear a really straightforward answer that I can understand. What is going to happen to his benefits? He gets all his medications, all everything through the VA. Not free, but, you know, reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we cannot survive if we have to go into, you know, something where we're going to be paying large premiums or any of, you know, that stuff. And it just scares me, and I, like I say, I constantly listen, and I can't get an answer. I'm hoping you have one.
Okay, the question is the VA system affected?
By health care reform. By
this bill?
Yeah.
Right.
Is it the first question? The answer is no. That's specifically exempted because of TRICARE and all those the special plans and hospitals that are in effect for the veterans. As to you individually as a Medicare recipient, you would be impacted by the fact that the Medicare system would be the system of payment and the system of operation for any public option. And that is particularly bothersome because the way the bill is set up, H.R. 3200, it's impossible for private health insurance companies to stay in business, and therefore the default insurance company becomes the public option, and public option has as its rates of payment Medicare. So what it does, it overloads the Medicare system. And that obviously will impact the quality of care that seniors will get because of so many people being in there, that the physicians and hospitals will be really perplexed because the Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement are not sufficient in order to pay the basic fees of the hospitals and doctors.
Thank you, Margaret, for your call. Jim, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Congressman, since the Medicare Part D, the drug bill, went into effect, I never signed up for it, but I understand now that if I want to sign up next year, it'll be the start of the fourth year, there's a 1% per month penalty for each month that I never signed up for. So I would pay, let's say it's $100 a month, I would pay $136 every month. Who gets that $36 penalty every month?
I don't, Jim, I don't know the answer to your question. The premiums on Part D have been running, I think, under $30 a month. And but I don't know the answer to that. If you want to give your number off the air, then I can have somebody from my staff get back to you.
Jim, do you want to do that?
It's kind of out of curiosity because, it's either the government's going to get it, Medicare's going to get it, or the insurance company's going to get it.
Yeah, I don't know. The purpose that it was set up that way was to encourage people to enroll early so that there were more people in the in that pool as opposed to people waiting later on when they needed prescription drugs more. But I don't know. I have no idea how that penalty, whether it accumulates.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, one of the reasons I didn't sign up, because there were a lot of meetings and seminars and so forth that various insurance companies were coming up with.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them were like a bait and switch. They would try, instead of just telling you about the drug part, they wanted you to switch to their
preferred
provider plans or
mm-hmm.
the Part B insurance or get all three of them. And then when you tried to talk to them about just the drug plan, they just kind of sloughed it off. They just wanted to sign up people for the big pot.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because there were a lot of seminars that were actually held by people who did not do that. Social Security held them themselves. And even some drugstores were doing that.
Well, see if you can get the law changed to eliminate that penalty. I mean, it's just like, I don't understand it. If I didn't buy my car insurance, are they going to hit me with a penalty the next year that I do buy it? And whose idea was that to come up with that goofy idea?
I don't know.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Good to talk to you. Ben, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Ben, good morning.
Good morning, Ken. Good morning, Congressman Manzullo. Yes. Now, previously you had stated that you wouldn't advise anyone to take the coverage that you were getting, and that, in fact, you had 12 different options to choose from. You chose that option, the one that you have. And one more thing here. Now, what sounds like you were describing earlier was a co-op type of deal with these things. Now, if the people get into this co-op, what's going to happen and what traditionally has happened that the insurance companies are relied on by the co-op, from the co-op, for different funding and monies and doctors. And what these insurance companies would be able to do, and what they have done to most co-ops, except for maybe Blue Cross, which started as a co-op, is to deny them access to certain things by just pricing them out. And the doctors that, they're not going to sign up for them because of the pressure from the bigger insurance companies.
Right.
And what's traditionally happened to most co-ops, because most of them do not succeed.
Well, that's, the co-op essentially is the public option. I mean, that's, all he could tell is that the, coming from the words of the majority leader, the president, the chairman of the majority Senate Finance Committee, the Secretary of the Health and Human Services, they're calling them all the same.
No, the co-op is what the Republican Party were calling for the insurance deal for coverage.
No, what you're talking about, and it's easy to make the distinction on it. The Republican Party, and in fact, a lot of Democrats, support association health plans, and that's where little groups of people can join together to have a giant purchasing plan. In a sense, it is a co-op, but it simply allows smaller employers to be part of a larger purchasing pool. That's not the co-op that the Senate Democrats have been talking about. Their co-op is something where, very similar to the health exchange, which is in the base House bill, and that's the one that simply pits private insurance companies against the public option. But the problem with the co-op concept is that the Senate has never really defined it.
Now with the public option, now what way I understand it is that if the public option was there, now you would still have your choice of keeping your insurance through Blue Cross or whomever that you have, State Farm or whatnot, Prudential. You can still keep that. But what this would do is what they would drive, they would force the insurance companies to probably more likely come into line with the to keep the prices down.
Well, they
escalating prices of the insurance that's going up every year,
right,
is going up 30%.
Yeah. Right.
And then your employers, even here in Rockford, we see it. The main thing that the employers are griping about is the cost of insurance going up every year, and they can't afford to provide it for their employees.
Right. That is the main problem. What you've done there is you've gone to the skipping the people that are uninsured to the people who are insured, where the problem is the cost of insurance. And included in that are a lot of the small employers that, where their group is rated based upon the number of employees that work for the small employer. If you put those guys into a larger purchasing pool, such as the 4 million people who work for the federal government, then you can bargain with insurance companies for better rates and for more choices.
That's
what
the association health plan would do.
I'm going to have to get a couple more calls before we have to let the congressman go. I know he's pressed for time. Fred, thank you for holding. You're on with Congressman Manzullo.
Hello. Congressman Manzullo, yeah.
How are you?
Pardon?
How are you?
Oh, not bad of a shape I'm at. There's a cliche, you know, the devil's in the details. And obviously this health insurance situation is proud of all kinds of them. Or there wouldn't be so much controversy and argument about it. In regard to your town hall meeting tomorrow night, you know, there have been disruptions, various meetings. So I hope have it set up that you announce it like at the beginning, you know, certain rules that the people will be allowed to express their views. As a talk show host says, everybody has a right to their own opinion, but not their own facts. So there's going to be some disagreement in there, but hopefully you'll have sort of a format announcement.
We will, which
people will give it a chance.
Yeah, it is.
Their statement.
We'll run for 2 hours. I'll open it, it'll be about 20 minutes. As I said, I'm going to open it up.
because
exactly what the bill is, and then we'll have a mic, and then we'll limit it to what we're going to try to do is have maybe 2 minutes per person.
Yeah, because
so that as many people as possible will be able to speak.
You know, the extremists on both sides are just trying to sell a basal argument instead of listening to other people's lives, and I'm concerned that we do this on an open-minded basis. I hopefully, though, there's one thing pretty much being recognized is that there is a medical insurance industry. I have no problem with paying doctors for a month. There's this bit about the government between us and the insurance. Right now, we got the insurance companies between us and the payment, and we need to get insurance companies based more on serving the people and not making profit.
Yep. Thank you, Fred. Appreciate it. Chris, you're our final caller for Congressman Don Manzullo. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Mr.
Morning, Chris.
I was a conservative Republican. I am no more. I am an independent. Both parties have taken advantage of the American people. It's a bunch of smoke and mirrors with this health care thing. What we need
It's smoke and mirrors with the health care reform, according to Chris.
You know, you guys need to do tax reform is what you need to do. I just heard the other day, August 16th is Tax Freedom Day.
Okay.
That is criminal. That is legitimate criminal.
Right, Chris, first...
For our tax dollars to take all the way to August 16th for me to catch up to pay my taxes.
Hey, Chris, I'm on your side.
Get that?
Go ahead. He's on your side, Chris.
I'm one of the biggest tightwads in Congress.
I've heard that about you, Don.
I am. Yes, my family.
You know what? Maybe, but you're only one person.
Well, you know what? There are a lot more out there, but what you see going on with regard to the health care debate, the real debate is between the Democrats.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, I'm not for any party anymore because I feel like, you know, nobody's addressed a legal immigration issue. You know, and all this health care reform, nobody's come back and said, hey, we got a big problem with illegal immigration.
We got a big
problem with tax reform. I mean, how can I give up over 50% of my money and expect to pay for health care and expect to pay for groceries and expect to pay for, my house payment?
Chris, I agree with you. One of the things that we want to do is to allow small business people, the mom and pops, to be able to buy health insurance with pre-payroll tax dollars. I mean, that's massive tax reform for them. And then to make it so that many people will be in a position of buying health care insurance as opposed to paying income taxes through tax credits. So that accomplishes two things. It lowers the income tax rate for individuals, and they take that money and it's used to buy health insurance. And that lowers the rates for everybody because more people become covered.
Chris, thank you for your call. Congressman, thank you so much for your time. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the NIU Education Center on East State, and we'll be there.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim. Bye-bye.